For some of you in this room today, you're bored in two areas. You're bored with God because you spend all your time chasing the things of God and they're not getting it done for you. And they won't. They're not intended to. You chase Him.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
I'm gooder. It's not even a word, but it works right now. All right? Don't go repeat that, students in class Monday. That's not a good word. Gooder is not in there. It's a good word, but it's not in there. Hey, you have come on a really, 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 I don't know. Listen to me. I don't know if you just walked in here just by chance today, but I'm going to tell you that God brought you in here today, like I said in my prayer. And you may or may not even know that there is brisket after this, but you do know now, okay? Or you could have just been driven, you could have just driven by with your windows down and went like a big old bloodhound dog following that smell, okay? So whatever brought you in the house, I'm glad you're here. You're here on a great day and you're here in a good house. This is our, what we call fall kickoff, 102 today. All right, just pretend, okay? It's coming, okay? It's our fall kickoff. We do it with brisket, make it a competition. You're gonna get all the brisket you ever wanted. We do it with a small, our small group expo. Small groups is how we make the big church small. Simple as that. This right here is big church, but there's gotta be a small church. And this is what we do. Small groups make it small, okay? Whether we got all kinds of small groups, okay? And speaking of small groups, my small group pastor, okay, he is behind us, okay? We wanna see him. Mark, you with us? Mark, what's cooking, Mark?
I'm live.
You gotta tell us what's cooking out there.
Hey, church, what's going on, man? We're so excited that y'all are here for our small group expo, our brisket cook-off today. Carrying my fantasy football trophy around because I'm the champion, and the brisket's really good. It's been, I mean, wow, my mouth is watering. We got so much going on. All the brisket's out here. We're ready for you to come taste it here in a little bit, all right? Don't leave now because you got to listen to Pastor Jeff preach, all right? But in here, in our flex building, we've got all of our small groups ready to go for you to sign up on, all right? Again, we've got our pickleball groups. Look right here. I got my pickleball paddle. Ready to go. We've got, again, fantasy football. Hashtag beat the staff this year because, you know what? Ain't nobody done it in 6 years. So, I mean, I'm just saying, we'll see if anybody can do it. But here's our fantasy football groups right here. Guys, we've got so many groups available for you. 60-something groups ready to go. We've got financial freedom, financial peace groups. We've got a crafters, TCAB crafters group. Beauty in the Word. We've got our freedom groups. We've got, again, over 60 groups. We've got Following Jesus, Discover Purpose. Just come take a look, all right? And then look at this. We have a whole team of people here ready. They're just ready to get you connected into a small group. And so come out and see us, okay? Jeff, here's the thing. I need you to get to preaching, Jeff. Get those people out here so they can enjoy some of this brisket as well. Y'all have fun. We'll see you in a little bit.
You never see Mark excited, do you? Man, goodness. He's perfect for that. Perfect for that. I pity the fool. Did you see that? Did you see the banner there? Mr. T. Yeah, Mr. T got some love out of there. So here's my question. Ever been bored? You ever been bored? You're coming out of summer. If you're a parent, you're coming out of summer. That's the phrase of summer. Amen. If you heard it once, you heard it 1,000 times this summer. Mom, I'm bored. I'm bored. Hey, if you didn't hear that, that's a miracle, okay? Kids are always bored. When I was a junior, when I was probably eighth grade, ninth grade, don't quote me on the grade on this, okay? Don't hold that against me. Couldn't drive yet. But I had some buddies of mine that we had this idea because we were bored. Because see, when someone's bored, here's what you hear when you get bored. I say, Mom, I'm bored. Or Dad, I'm bored. Or I'm bored. They say, well, go find something to do. Okay, do you know how bad that is? To tell somebody who's bored to go find something to do. See, I have a theory. What happens to teenagers when they get bored? The oxygen level in their brain goes to nothing. And they ain't using it. And so you just told somebody that's not using their brain to go find something to do. Does that look dangerous to anybody besides me? So my mom told me to go find something to do. Well, I'll just help myself to that. So go over to my buddy's house who had a pool. He also has a trampoline. You jump on a trampoline for a while, the 105, heat index about 111 in Dallas. That ain't going to work with a pool. So I look up and he goes, my buddy said, what are you looking at? I said, there's a roof. There is a roof. Jeff, there's houses. Houses have roofs. No, what I'm saying is there's a roof. So what happens if we jump from the roof to the trampoline? Can we make it to the pool? Well, I don't know. Let's try it. Find something to do, son. Found something to do. So it took a little while, but we got it. Now, understand something. My buddy and I, about the same size. As a scientific calculation that has to be made with weight and air. You get my drift? So we're fine. But then my other buddy, he a little bit larger than the two of us. And we didn't factor in his weight. And so he did it, but he didn't travel quite as far, which meant the concrete around the pool caught him, and all of a sudden, finding something to do became grounding, all right? So what I'm saying is when you have to go get bored and find something to do, sometimes it doesn't work out real good, okay? Sometimes it just doesn't go well. Because listen to me, boredom has a posture, doesn't it? You can look at someone and go, they're bored. Or you can watch them behave and go, they're bored. That is very true of people. You can see it, okay? So let me ask it a different way. You ever been bored with God? That's a dangerous question to ask pastor in church. Because what happens is the first thing that came up was the honest answer. But then you realize you're sitting in church and you might want to answer a church answer. Have you ever been bored with God? Bored has a posture. Bored has kind of a behavior to it, or an attitude connected to it, or a demeanor connected to it. Or bored has a way that someone carries themselves. So if I say to you, have you ever been bored with God? Then that's a dangerous question, because then my posture and my behavior, my attitude, and the way I carry myself, and the way I approach God might look bored. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I'm bored right now. I'm bored with you talking. I have sat in churches and listened to a man talk in a church and been extremely bored. Now, would I tell you that? Did I want to wear that shirt? No, but I was bored. And being bored with God is dangerous. Very dangerous. So have you ever been bored with God? I have. You say, well, that was probably before you became a pastor. It was, and it was also since I've been a pastor. If we're honest in the, if we're honest this morning, and we ought to be honest in church, amen. If we're honest this morning, we've all been there. You might be there right now. See, I found myself bored with what I, with God. Let me just be honest. Y'all know me as transparent. I'm just gonna be real honest today. I got bored with God. See, I'm coming out of that. And I'll tell you about it as I unpack this. I'm coming out of that. And I don't want you to look at me and go, oh my gosh, my pastor was bored with God. You are too, if you're honest. You have been. You can be. It is a trap for all of us. Romans 2:4. This is where I found myself. Romans 2:4 says this. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So I began to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I have gotten bored with you. I'm so sorry that I just went through the motions with you. I'm so sorry that I just played a part, because that is not right. See, what I did, I was looking at the church over the last year, and the only way to describe it to you is, and this is the only way I can explain it, is that I couldn't find the I couldn't find the You know when you got the or you know when you don't have the You either got the or you don't have the Amen. And some places have the and some places don't have the And when you ask them, how'd you get the They say, I don't know how I got the That's not easy to do that many times. I probably need some water after that. But what I'm saying is, there's a pop. There's an it. There's a that comes. And some houses have them, and some houses don't. And I couldn't find the And I kept looking for the And so I began to crunch numbers. And I looked at all kind of numbers over the last 2, 3, 4 years. I took numbers, analytics, and I crunched them to see if what my, what I was feeling was matched by print. And sometimes the numbers can help you, or they can send you deeper in a hole. I said, I just began to look at it. I said, God, I'm so sorry. It appears that I got, that my church got bored with God. And maybe they got bored with God because their lead pastor got bored with God. So then I questioned whether I had lost my own. Where was my Because you know if you don't have the or not. So I said, God, I'm sorry that I got bored with you. Sorry for going through the motions. This is honest, man. Many pastors could deliver what I'm delivering today, but many won't. Trust me. Sorry for just playing the part. You can put this thing on autopilot. I've been doing it since 1988. Some of you in the room ain't even been born in 1988. Saying. And here's what I heard my father say to me. You are not bored with me. Watch this. You are bored with the things of me. It's a difference. See, people say, well, I'm going to go find God. And so they want to find God. And a lot of times when they want to find God, they walk into church. That's a really good decision, by the way. Because when you walk into church, you ought to be able to find God. Amen? But sometimes the God they find doesn't look like the God in here. And sometimes in the church, we find things more than him. So we find pews and we find stained glass windows. I love stained glass windows. I wish I had some in my own home. But a stained glass window doesn't represent God, neither does a pew. You find a hymnal. I love hymns. But that's a hymnal. That's not God. You find Bibles. That's a good thing. But can I tell you, I've been in church. They get bent out of shape if you don't use the right translation. I'm not chasing the translation of a Bible. I'm chasing the God of a Bible. And I'd be dang if I come looking for God and you tell me that you'd find me quicker if your Bible translation was different. My Bible translation tells me I will find my God if I seek him with all my heart. And it doesn't care what translation I use. We make things in church God that aren't God. We need to chase God more than we chase the things of God. The things of God will get you bored, keep you bored, and make you do stupid things. Because when you're bored, your oxygen shuts off to your brain. And then when they ask you why you did it, you say, I don't know. I found myself what I thought was bored with God, which is almost impossible. Or it is impossible. But what I was bored with the things of God. I began to look at the things of God to define God or to define how God was doing. God's doing really good, regardless of whether my things are or not. So I found that I was not bored with God, but I was bored with the things of God. So let me ask again. You bored with God? Or are you bored with the things of God? The answer to that question really depends on what you're chasing and what you're pursuing. You chasing the things of God? Let me read a very familiar passage of scripture. Jeremiah 29:11 says these words. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Woohoo! I've signed up for that, God. Give me all that good stuff. All the good things. Give to me. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Oh, add on, God. Just add on. Just add on. One sweet GMC Sierra diesel pickup is good, then two is good. Because they always say, if one scoop is good, two scoop is better. We love that. James 1:17, don't you know that all good gifts come down from heaven above? Oh, give me some good gifts. Give me some good gifts. Give me some good gifts. We got to be real careful. Because we live in this Western culture, in this American, and we have holidays and birthdays and certain holidays that we grow up learning. If we're good, real good, you're gonna get everything on your list. And if we're not careful, we take that and we transfer it right into God. And then when all good gifts come down from heaven above, don't line up with what we thought they should look like, we turn it against God and hold him ransom. Don't say you don't do it. Don't. You're in church. Be honest. If all good gifts from heaven don't come on my time slot, when I say it's a good time, then he's a bad God. You got to be careful. We don't take that and transfer it into God and hold God ransom and guilty of the things that come down from heaven above, not lining up with our agenda, because it ain't time for God to get in on our agenda. It's time for us to get on in his. And whether all those good things come to me or not, if I'm chasing God, I'm okay. Because it won't change my worship. Because what we do is, if all this good stuff came this week, we'll go to church and we'll worship with hands up. But if our week stinks, man, and it wasn't good, and all the things from heaven above didn't really be good this week, we either don't come or we come and go. I don't know about you, God. I don't know about you. When do I get a break? When does something go my way? How much longer do I have to do this before I get this? And you find yourself mad at the things of God or the way God's doing things. And you think it's to the things, but the sad part is this, the things of God can lead to the same anger towards the God of gods. So the question is, what you chasing? You chasing God? Pursuing God? Or the things of God? Let me read some more scripture. Let's pick back up in Jeremiah, because we always read 11, but then we just run away. We go, I like 11. I'm gonna put that in my house. That's a good one. Let's give it to me, God. Give it to me. Give me the college I want to go to, and let me marry the person I pick. And let me live in the house I always dreamed and have the dog by the name I always wanted. And let my truck run forever and my hot water heater always produce hot water. Amen? What's wrong with that life? That's a good one, but it don't work out like that. It don't work like that all the time. Sometimes you go to the college that God wants you to go to, and it works out even better than it would have if it went to the one you wanted to go to. So Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then, same dude, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, same you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Matthew 6:33 that I referenced earlier. We read real fast because we like the ending. But he says, seek you first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Oh, we in the American church want to start at the end of 33 and read it backwards to the beginning. As long as I'm getting all these things, why in the world would I get up on Sunday morning, get all dressed up, talk to people I don't really like, and sing songs I don't agree with? Can I be real honest this morning? That's what we do. I'm just saying to you, I've had families in this house come to church 10 for 10 during football season so that their son doesn't get hurt on Friday night. And when football is over, I didn't see him again. Why are we bargaining with God? Is that what God is? Is that the way he works? No. Why don't we chase God? He said, why don't we see the things on mission trips? Why don't we see those in our church on Sundays? Because they don't chase everything we chase. They don't have everything we have. And they have nothing but him. So they chase him. That's why they see it. James 4:8 says, come near to God, he'll come near to you. Matthew 5:6, we would hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be fed. You hunger and thirst for that or for the things of God? Psalm 42:1-2, as a deer pants for water, oh, my soul pants for you, the living water. Is that how we approach it? Is that us? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We sing a worship song. We sing it. I'm not the worship pastor. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered me. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered me. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered me. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Not, doesn't say I sought the things of God. I sought the things of God, and he heard, and he answered. No, because the things of God sometimes don't work out the way I want them to. And if I just seek the things of God and base my worship, devotion, and my hunger on God based on how the outcome of that is, I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. Let me illustrate like this when I close. I started with this question. Are you bored? And I said, are you bored with God or the things of God? Every married couple, I want you to look at me. And I want you to lock in. You ever been bored in marriage? Bored. You see, we get married. We pursue and chase her. Same cop. Gave me two different tickets while we dated. Why? Because I was pursuing her. Pursuing her. Second time he said, same girl? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, that part's good. Thank you, sir. Where do I sign? I pursued her. I got crazy about her. And we got married, and I still pursued her and chased her. Then we had a boy. Eat, poop, sleep. You remember? Eat, Who? Sleep. They do anything else? Anything. Then we had a girl. Eat, sleep, poop. Times two. Then they start their life of sports, stuff, ball games, school this, school that, this, that, this, chasing, running, going, boom, bam. Months go by, years go by. You see school pictures at the beginning and school pictures at the end, you're like, oh my gosh, they grew a foot. And they were with you the whole time, you didn't even know it. But you know what happens? Who you pursued and chased got overtaken by the things of marriage. And before you know it, and unknowingly, you start doing it. You start chasing the things of marriage. And you no longer chase the person of marriage. And you know what happens if you do that too long? You no longer have a marriage. Amen? You look up after graduation when you could hear the cricket in the house. And that person goes by you and you go, who in the fat is that? Because you chased everything inside of marriage but the person of marriage. And church, I'm going to tell you something. Unknowingly, in your Christian walk, in church, you can chase a whole bunch of stuff and miss him. You can chase a whole bunch of things of God, never land on God. You can chase it all and get bored, because many people in marriage chasing all that stuff and they get bored. You know what happens when you get bored in marriage? That grass is greener out there. Oh, no, it's not. You just need to water yours. You need to just get back to chasing the main thing, keep the main thing the main thing. You need to take your eyes and lock them. If she's worth getting two tickets for, she's still worth getting two tickets for, amen? So you speed your little britches over there with her. And you get out of that chair and you come over and you sit by her on that couch. And you begin to chase her again. You begin to pursue her again. For some of you in this room today, you're bored in two areas. You're bored with God, because you spend all your time chasing the things of God and they're not getting it done for you. And they won't. They're not intended to. You chase him. And some of you are teetering on boredom in marriage because it don't have its anymore. And you've been looking for the for a while. And you're thinking the is outside the marriage. And it's not. The is in the marriage. Go get a speeding ticket getting to her. Go get a speeding ticket getting to him. And that'll fix your marriage. Fall back in love with who you fell in love with before you chase the things of God and the things of marriage. It all started with Jesus on the cross when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Chase him like that again. And it all started when you chased her down and she said yes. And you started this crazy thing called life, and you added kids that you didn't even know how to raise to start with, and poop, eat, and sleep started. And you hadn't recovered since. I'm gonna invite you to stay in church. Revelation 2:4 says this. Yet I hold this against you. That you have forsaken your first love. I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. You can't do it in marriage, and you can't do it in your relationship with the Lord. For some of you in the room, you need to come back to your first love and stop pursuing the things of God and getting frustrated with the things of God and pursue God. And some of you in the room, as married couples, have got to stop chasing the things of marriage and go back to chasing each other and fall back in love with your first love again. The altar's wide open for you. Ministry teams are in the back. As we worship, just be obedient to whatever the Spirit has said this morning. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. Holy Spirit, draw your people now for your glory and for your honor. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word PRAY to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.